Morning. Today's up in the Vodazar is Mem Beis. We are Mem Alef Amud Beis. We're most of the way down. We are starting today with the words in Safik Morotzi Midei Vadai. We are in the large discussion of the Gemara here in the beginning of the third parak of Avodazara, having to do with the topic of Bittul Avodazara. Here's the basic rule that if the Avodazara is owned by a guy, so he has the opportunity to be mevatel it. We'll talk about the actual process of being mevatel the Avodazara over the course of this parak. In fact, today's daf, we're going to be talking about a number of ways in which she can be mevatel the Avodazara. Physical Bittul Avodazara. And a Jew, however, once he is under the ownership of an Avodah Zarah, so there is no longer an opportunity for Bittul, a Jew simply cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. So that's the starting point of the discussion. And then on that, there is a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We introduced ourselves to it yesterday. And that is the following question. What if while under the ownership of a guy, the Avodah Zarah breaks, but he doesn't break it? It breaks on its own. So Nishtabru Me'aleha. What would be the halacha? Would we then assume that there would be a default bittul on the part of the guy? So Rav Yochanan says no. Rav Yochanan says that the only way that a guy could be mevatel is avodah zarah, thereby losing its status of avodah zarah, is only when he actively breaks it. But if it happens on its own, it is not subject to bittul. So ad kan divrei Rav Yochanan. Masha'inkin, according to Reish Lakish says no. That once the avodah zarah breaks, whether he actively does it or even if it happens on its own, at that point in time, we will assume a default bittul. Why do we assume that? So the Gemara really articulates, the Gemara gives the argument, and that is, look, if the Avodah Zarah can't help itself, there's no way that the Avodah Zarah is going to be able to help me. And so therefore, once it breaks, even though the owner of it did not do the breaking, even though it was done organically, it happened naturally, but still at that point in time, the owner is now going to come to his senses. This can't be a deity, can't have any power, can't even help itself, how can it help me?
His response, if he feels bad.
Reish Lakish assumes that that will be the response. Reish Lakish says that's the assumed response that's going to be. It's interesting. According to Reish Lakish, what if he, you know, after breaks, what if he says, you know, I still believe in it. Right? Let's give it another chance. So it's fair. It's a fair question. I don't know. But the Reish Lakish's position is that we assume that it breaks.
You would have to know the guy.
No, Reish Lakish says.
No, the guy has to know it's wrong.
Oh, right.
Or not.
So it's right.
It's understood.
Right. Does he have to? No, but what Phil's asking is that does he have to be at least informed that it broke?
Oh, right.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. It's a fair question. I'm not sure. Okay. So that's the machlok between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish and. The reason why we got involved in this machlokes was because of the opening Mishnah. Actually, not the opening Mishnah, the second Mishnah. Yesterday's daf Mem Alef. So we went over two Mishnayos of the third parak. The first Mishnah had to do with a tzelem. In other words, you found an image, you found an idol, and you don't know its background. You don't know whether it was worshipped, whether it wasn't worshipped. So is it going to be usher, or is it not going to be usher? Meaning, what can we assume about its history as an idol? So the Mishnah brought down a machlokes between the Chacham and Ramey and Rishim and Gamliel, and then the next Mishnah, Shivrei Tzlamim. You found pieces of a tzelem. So you found pieces of a tzelem, so now it was broken. And so that got us into the discussion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish about this topic of Nishtabra Me'ala breaks on its own. In the course of the discussion, we also discussed the following, and that is the following. A tzelem just simply means it's an idol and we don't know its history. What if we know that it was actually worshipped? So that's what's called an avodah zarah. An actual avodah zarah. So if you have an actual avodah zarah, and according to the Chachamim, seemingly, an actual avodah zarah itself, so what we are left to assume is that if we know that it was worshipped, and so that it broke, so at that point in time, can we now say that the chances are is that the owner broke it? And since the owner broke it, so therefore he was mevatel. Now this question really fits much better according to Rav Yochanan than for Reish Lakish, because according to Reish Lakish, once it breaks, whether he breaks it or it breaks on its own, it already is going to be subject to bittul. But according to Rav Yochanan, who says that in order to be mevatel, the guy has to be mevatel biyadayim, has to break it on his own. So here's what you know. You know that it was once upon a time an avodah zarah. For sure you know that. That was the track history. Now you see that it's broken. So can we say that vaday was aser? And at least now there's a possibility that the owner broke it. So do we say that a suffix motzi midei vadai? This is a common topic of discussion throughout Shas. You can see in the Gemara on the side, it's discussed in Psachim, in Chulin, in Nida. So this is now the fourth Masechta in Shas that's discussing this topic. And do we say Safik Motzi Midevadai, or do we say Ein Safik Motzi Midevadai? That's on the table right now, and we are going to discuss it in the context of the Gemara. So let us pick up where we left off yesterday. Ein Safik Motzi Midevadai. The Gemara is about two thirds of the way down. The first word in the line is Vadai. Ein Safik Motzi Midevadai Vatai. The Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Chaver Shemesh V'Inich Megura Malei Apera. So let's say a Chaver dies. Chaver is somebody who is careful about halacha, and specifically about Shumas HaMaisros. And he takes off Shumas HaMaisros, and it's not even a question that he takes it off. The problem is that unfortunately he died unexpectedly, and he left fruit in his house, fruit in the basket, and we don't know. We don't know if he took it off or not. In other words, had he been selling it, it wouldn't have been a question. Of course he takes off Shumas HaMaisros. He's an upstanding citizen. But here, because of his death, we don't know. So what do we say? So the Brice over here says that even if he just filled up the basket, here's what we assume, that he is so meticulous and he's so careful about the performance of halacha and take off Shumas HaMaisros, that the first opportunity that he has to take off Shumas HaMaisros, he would have done so. It's in the basket, it's now ready to take off Shumas HaMaisros, we assume that he did. He did so immediately. That's the nature of a chaver. So the Gemara says, so wait one second, let's think this through right now. So over here, it was absolutely tevel, of course. Meaning, he took it from the field, he put it into the basket, it's now chayv in Shumas HaMaisros, which means at this point in time, it's definitely tevel. So we have the vaday. Now, safek asrinu, safek lo asrinu. Now, did he take off Shumas HaMaisros? We're not sure. And again, had he been selling it, the answer, of course, is we'd be sure. But because of his untimely demise, we simply don't know. The kasi safek amotzi midei vaday. And now we're assuming that he did, and now this is a suffix which is removing a vadai. And so the Gemara says, so isn't this now a case of a suffix removing a vadai? So the Gemara gives a couple of answers to this question. Number one, the Gemara says, vadu vadehu, the vadai asrinu. So the Gemara says, no. First of all, the assumption is that maybe he took it off. The Gemara says, I take out the word maybe. We don't say maybe. Kid Rabbi Chanina Chuzah Dam Rabbi Chanina Chuzah Chazak Al Chavish Shein Mosi Davish Shein Mesukan Mitachas Yadav. So the Gemara says that the nature of the chaver is such in which he's so diligent and he's so meticulous. He's such a zariz that for sure he took off Shumas HaMaisros the first opportunity he had. So don't call this a suffik. Call this a vaday. That's answer number one. So it's not suffik mosi midei vaday. It's vaday mosi midei vaday. Easy answer. Second answer, a little bit more complicated. Ibai Seima, Safik Vesafiku. Maybe we don't have to subscribe to the rule that we just learned of Rabbi Chanina Chuzah, that he does so immediately. Maybe that's not true, but, in other words, the fact that it's Tevel to begin with, that also is not definitive. We could suggest that maybe it's not Tevel. Now, probably is, but maybe it's not. Why? Eshadava Kid Rabbi Yoshia, because there are possibilities of collecting the produce from the field, bringing it in, and it's not chayv and shumas ha-maisros. The Gemara says, "Amar marim adam atuaso." A person can do an haram. He can do some sort of legal maneuvering. Nice way to say it. Thank you. I know. I was trying to avoid that. He can do some sort of legal maneuvering in which he can bring in the produce into his house. Umachlisa b'moshala. In other words, take it in while it's still in the chaff. So in other words, so it's, the grains are not there, exposed to the Pnei HaBayis, exposed to the door of the house, so that he can feed it to his animals, which I'll explain better in just a moment, and it would be exempt at this point in time from Shumas HaMaisros. So there is a possibility that the produce of grains were brought into his house, and yet it's not going to be chayv in Shumas HaMaisros. And so now, is it a safek mosi midei vadai? No, it's a safek mosi midei safek, because we don't know for sure that it was tevel. Okay, what kind of legal maneuvering are we talking about over here? So let's just get a little bit more familiar with the issues at hand. Or bringing in the produce while it's still in the chaff is going to be an exemption from it will excuse it from being tevel. How can that be? So let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi explains. Avaluka Rabbi Yoshia, Rashi Divra Maschel, the Avaluka Rabbi Yoshia, he writes, Dechnis b'mushala. Excuse me. He brought the grain in while it was still in the chaff. Velora pnei habayis. And that means, of course, that the kernels themselves did not see the house, the entrance to the house. V'afagav d'tevel shelora pnei habayis mitzvah b'achilas keva. Now Rashi points out that I'm still not allowed to eat it. Meaning, you can't eat it until you take off Shumas HaMaisros. Explains Rashi, that's true, but Says Rashi, that's only achilas keva. That means a solid meal. Yeah, in other words, right, an established meal. He explains Rashi, this is only an Isser de Rabbanan. That's only a chumer de Rabbanan, explains Rashi, but min haTorah, it's not yet chayv in chumas amaisros. Next Rashi, why not? So Rashi explains like this, because in other words, at what point in time are produce chayv in chumas amaisros? So Rashi over here points to a couple of points. One, explains Rashi, is what's called merucha kri. Merucha kri is bad not only when you take the produce and collect it, but you smooth off the top. What's the magic of smoothing off the top? The magic is very simple. You now know how much you have. In other words, you put into a basket. In other words, when are you chayv in chumas amaisros? In other words, chumas amaisros is a portion. It's a fraction. For chuma, I have to take off. Again, that's an adjustable amount. Somewhere around 2%. A little bit more, a little bit less, depending on whether you're generous or not. And in terms of maaser, that is a hard number. That's a 10%. And that's an absolute. So in other words, so merucha kri, when you're smoothing off the top, you now know the amount that you have. Now that you know the amount you have, so now it's chayv and shumas maaser. That's what's called in halacha the gemar malacha. Rashi goes on to say, shebesada demiruchu gemar malacha veichnisu labais, who kav aso lamaiser lasebo achilas arai. Now bringing it into the house, that's what's called in halacha koveya, meaning it establishes that now that you can no longer eat it, and not any kind of eating, not achilas keva, not even achilas arai. Kedamrin besochus pavalim quotes the gemara b'mitzia vekeva deichnisa kodem gemar malacha. So now he's bringing it into house before the gemar malacha lo kavulei lekach. Now, obviously, in the house, so he's going to take off the chaff and he's going to smooth off the top. Lo mikveh de pnei abayis utikabai, velo toch abayis. In other words, it's a technicality. Like I said earlier, it's a legal maneuver in which, yes, it's true. Now, at this point in time, he still needs to take off chumas and maestros, but it's not koveya min haTorah. The kvius min haTorah that establishes that he has to take off chumas and maestros is only when it's brought, when the chaff itself sees the pnei habayis. Sorry. The kernels themselves see the pnei habayis. Also explains Rashi, if let's say he did the miruch outside, but it didn't go through the pnei habayis, but it went in through some other entrance of the house, that also is not going to be a koveya. So basically there are ways of literally going around so that the produce, right, circumventing, so that the produce is not chayv in chumas amaisros min haTorah. And since it's not chayv in chumas amaisros min haTorah, that means, to put in other terms, it's not tevel min haTorah. So then to our original question, the chaver had a basket of fruit. We don't know if he took off chumas amaisros. And wasn't it vadai tevel? And isn't the suffix being mostly mide vadai? So answer number two now is that it wasn't the vadai, because there are ways of bringing it into his house, so it won't be chayv in chumas amaisros min haTorah, allowing him to feed it to his animals. That's what's called achilas arai. And under those circumstances, now it's suffik. And it's suffik motzi midei suffik. That's the second answer of the Gemara.
You wouldn't expect to take this way out.
Correct. That's an excellent point. I was that bothers me as well, but okay, I hear you. Apparently. Ain't suffik motzi midei vadai. We are now stuck two lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara says, the Gemara pursues this topic. The Gemara now is going to be quoting another brisa. V'atanya amar Rav Yehuda ma'aseh b'shivchaso, shel matzik echa, there was a shivcha, a maidservant. Now, let's assume right now that this shivcha is a shivcha kananis, and a discussion of whether or not there is tumas leida by shivcha kananis. For our purposes right now, let's assume the answer is yes, there would be tumas leida. Okay, and unfortunately what happened here is as follows. It's an unfortunate scenario the brisa is constructing. So, but it's a Maisa Shayan. In other words, this actually happened. So what happened was that she delivered a stillborn. It was a Nafal, Rachmanis, and back then they wouldn't bury their Nafals, but they had a pit. And what they would do is they would deposit the nafel in the pit, and she gave birth. She was shalmatzik echad. Rashi explains the matzik over here, her owner, was a gavra alama. Rashi's description. V'Yisrael hava. He was a bully. He was a really strong man. So they were in the town of Rimon. She till a nafel abor. So what she did is now she had this nafel. She had the stillborn, and she deposited in the pit. And now, what did she give birth to? Well, we don't know. Meaning, we don't know what she gave birth to. Now, it's important to know because, in other words, we know the halacha is that when a woman gives birth, so for her, the woman who gave birth, so there's tumas leida. And depending on whether it was a male or whether it was a female, so she'll have to observe days of tumah and tahara. For a male, 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tahara. For a female, 1466. But in other words, it depends on what the gender is that comes out. Even though she's a mitzvah, she's a shivcha kananis. So I said, let's assume the answer is yes. You can see Tosfos, 2, 3, 4 Tosfosim down. No, sorry, 3 Tosfosim down who discusses this topic. But let's assume the answer is yes. Okay, and also, by the way, there really is, of course, the third option, which is that she gave birth to something which is so deformed, so does not have human form that she does not have tumas leida at all. All right. In other words, there'll be blood that comes out, so that, therefore she'll probably be a tumas nida. But in other words, it won't be tumas leida. Anyway, so the simple point is that we need to know what came out. And right now, she took it out and she deposited it in the pit, and so therefore somebody now is going to go there and to see. Now, who goes there to take a look? Uba kohen v'itzit. So a kohen of all people now is going to stick his head over the pit in order to see what he gave birth to. Now, Rashi over here, Dan Lekavtchus, Rashi says that he was a chacham umore hora. That this particular kohen also was the talmid chacham of the community, and therefore when it's kavin la aros la yeshivas yemei tumah v'yemei tahara. And so therefore the kohen now wanted to tell her. In other words, he was a posek of the community, and so he was going to tell her now whether or not she was tamei or tahor. So and this happens in communities throughout the country where you have a rabbi who's a kohen. So in general, it's great. There are certain times, however, where it's going to be a little bit of a hindrance. In other words, funerals are going to be a little bit of a struggle for the rabbi who's a kohen. So, okay. But in other words, but you could do it. The problem, of course, is that as being the kohen as such, he has to also be careful not to come into contact with tumah. And what did he do? He stuck his head now over the pit. And we know by tumas ohel, the moment that you are vertically over the mace, so now you are ma'ahil over the tumah. And now the kohen now has his own personal shayla. Did he become tamei by sticking his head over the pit?
See, if he's a murderer, he should have known.
That's the difficulty with Rashi. Right, I'm aware. So okay. So uva meisel lefnei chachamim v'tiru meishu choldab. I'm sorry. So leidem zachem nekeva. So uva meisel lefnei chachamim, and the man who came in front of the chachamim v'tiru meishu choldab bardos metzuyim sham. And now he himself went to another posek, and my tame, and the posek said to him, yeah, you're tame. Meaning, did you see anything when you stuck your head over the pit? He said, no. He said, I didn't see anything. Okay, you know what? Probably the navel wasn't there anymore. Unfortunately, what probably happened was, is that, in other words, in the pit, there are a bunch of weasels, rodents that are there, expecting the babies to be deposited over there. And so probably what happened is that a weasel grabbed the nafel, and so therefore the nafel probably wasn't even there in the pit when he looked over.
I mean, in this case, you don't say something, but tomorrow is
good. Whether it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, it's a good question. But right now,
when we say the vada was there, and maybe the
good. So that's exactly the Gemara's question. Vahacha devada itil nafel suffik garu suffik lo garu v'kasi suffik amotzi me devadai. And so here we go once again. Where right now, it was an nafel deposit in that pit? Yes, absolutely. So we start with a vadai. Did the weasel drag the nafel? Maybe. Maybe. But we don't know for sure. So here we have now set ourselves up in a scenario where we start with a vadai, and maybe the suffix moshe may day vadai, maybe not. And the ruling that was given to the Kohen is, yeah, you're okay. You're not tummy. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. This seems to be, the way we just set it up, a classic example of suffik motzi midei vadai. So the Gemara says, lo tem el nefel labor, ela ema itila kemin nefel labor. So the Gemara says, okay. So again, we're going to have to change one of those two. meaning we're either going to change the Vaday or we're going to change the Suffolk. And so the Gemara says our first approach is that we're going to change the Vaday. We said for sure she put the Nafel in the pit. No, that's not what's for sure. What's for sure, she threw something into the pit. But we don't even know what that starting point is. Ketani. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. It was a baby, because wasn't the Kohen's purpose of putting his head over is to see whether it was male or female? In other words, if the only question is male or female, for sure it was a baby. So the Gemara says, Hachikama. The Gemara says, no. Leida im ruachi pila in nefali tila. So the Gemara says, no. What the Kohen was there discovering was, number one, was it even an infant? In other words, it could very well be that what she miscarried was something, was just, it was fluid, it was a sack, but in other words, it was not a baby. So that's number one. So in other words, the starting point is, maybe it wasn't even a baby. And if it was a baby, if it was an infant, v'amtim salam nefal, hitila leidim zachem nekeva. And then we can go on to step number two, is that, and then if it was, so maybe if it was an infant, so then he went to check if it was male or female. Okay, so in other words, so the starting point is not vada, the starting point is suffik, and therefore this is a case of suffik motzi midei suffik. And ibai seim akim shechulda bardos mitzuyim sham vada garu. Or we can attack the other side of the equation, meaning that we said earlier maybe the rodent dragged the baby. Now we're going to say not maybe, the rodent dragged the baby. Now again, right, now you're going to ask me the question, if we know that the rodent dragged the baby, so why would the Kohen then stick his head over to see if it's there? The baby's not going to be there anymore. Okay, I don't know, but anyway. Yeah.
Why are we assuming it was over here? The baby was not born as a human, so it's like a limb that is excluded out.
Right.
Right.
It's in other words, if it was a baby, so it has Tumas Mace. In other words, right. If it was a form of a baby, there would be Tumas Mace. What exactly is the threshold of when it does and does not have Tumas Mace in terms of a forming fetus? So I don't know. No, that addresses other halachas. That addresses halachas of avelos, of burial. But in other words, we're talking about the halachas of tumah over here. So for tumah over here, obviously there's a lower threshold that's necessary for tumah. But I'm going to be honest with you, though. I don't know the exact parameters in terms of when it is or is not tumah.
Why?
So in other words, to know how many days a mother should observe tumah.
That's a slave.
So Tosfos over here says that, first of all, she's a slave, but she's a Jewish slave, meaning she's owned by a Jew. So in other words, she's not an Amma Ivriya. She's a Shifcha Kananis, but still, in other words, she observes the mitzvahs in the Torah. So
keep it 30 days
and
Yeah. She's forced to, because this was in two marriage, right?
It doesn't matter. In other words, no. Her, you may shiva, and you may her, you may tuma, you may tara, or irrespective of whether she's married or not married. That's just simply the reality of giving birth. That's just a function of delivering a baby.
Does it also depend upon whether the Evet can have a relationship with her?
Well, that's what Hedy's asking. No, in other words, it's Tumah Tahara. The Tumah Tahara will affect the marriage if she's married, but in other words, but it's Tumah Tahara independent.
But then Akum was born one day old, is considered being down.
Yeah, but in other words, she's not an Akum, she's a Shifcha Kananis. She's owned by a Jew, which means that she has some Jewish status. Okay. All right, we are now going to go back to our machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Meaning, so this really concludes our discussion of Suffolk Motzi Midei Vaday. The Gemara basically stands by the premise of Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vaday. That if you have a, if you start off with a known entity, and then it's just a question of a Suffolk, Suffolk is not going to change the parameters of the non-entity. Now, just before we move on to the Gemara, I'll make one quick comment. What we're basically saying seems pretty obvious, right? In other words, essentially, what the Gemara just basically said is that if I know something, and then there's a Suffolk, the Suffolk is not going to change the non-entity. Right? That's pretty straightforward. I didn't mention this yesterday, I'll just mention it quickly today. It's really important. It's not a parenthetical note. But if you look at Tosfos on the previous Amud, towards the bottom, Mem Alef Amud Beis, Ein Suffolk Motzi Midei Vaday. So Perush, Ein Suffolk Heter Haragil Motzi Midei Vaday. You see, Tosfos really ratchets up the Gemara's Chiddush over here. Meaning, it's not just a simple suffix. If it were just a simple suffix, of course the simple suffix is not going to change a Vaday. Meaning, if we know something, and then, well, maybe things have changed. Well, what do you mean, maybe things have changed? Maybe things haven't. And if the starting point is, here's what's a given, so a suffix is not going to change that. Tosfos says, but really what the Gemara is saying is really a bigger Chiddush. Let me read the words of the Tosfos again. It's really important. Right? Perish, ain't a suffix heter haragil motzi midevadai. Even if it's something which is a little bit more than just maybe. In other words, probably. In other words, we'll change it. I know I'm speaking English right now, but that's really what Tosfos means. Change it from a maybe to a probably. Heter harag, ain't suffix heter haragil motzi midevadai. And if it's just a simple suffix, it goes without saying that's a given. Even if it probably happened, still, the probably is not going to change a vadai. That's the way Tosfos describes this whole scenario. Obviously now that represents a bigger chiddush. Okay. Let's go back to our Gemara. We're in Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We are about a quarter of the way down. We're starting now with the words Eitzvei, and we are now resuming back to the topic of the discussion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish as to the question of the Avodah Zarah breaks on its own. Like I said in the beginning of Shir today, if a Goy breaks his own Avodah Zarah, or as we'll discuss later, if he breaks another Goy's Avodah Zarah, so that now is Bittul Avodah Zarah. The status of the Avodah Zarah now goes away. And it's no longer an Avodah Zarah, and it's no longer Asur Bahana, and it's gone. Avodah Zarah is gone. Okay, the status of the Avodah Zarah is gone. And so that is what's called Bittul Avodah Zarah. The question, and again, just to reiterate, if a Jew owns an Avodah Zarah, there's no opportunity of Bittul. It has the status of Avodah Zarah until it's destroyed. Okay. And then the discussion between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is, what if it breaks on its own? In other words, while owned by a guy, the Avodah Zarah breaks. This is what the Gemara referred to as Nishtabru Me'elaha. It breaks on its own. So Rav Yochanan says it's still us, and Reish Lakish says no. If it breaks on its own, it's going to be Mutter. And again, the argument of Reish Lakish is, if it can't save itself, there is no way it's going to save me. I give up my belief in this particular idol. Okay. So the Gemara now, Eitzvei. So the Gemara challenges, and we are going to have numerous challenges between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and most of these will be attacks on the opinion of Reish Lakish. Eitzvei. Let's start with the following matzah. Tav nisya, tav nisrego. Hare elu asur min mishah chayosu ben nevad. And the Gemara attacks now from our very own Mishnah. Our Mishnah now describes where you have the remnant of an idol. It's just either a hand or a foot. And the Mishnah says it's asur because people worship a hand and a foot. And right now the Gemara is thinking that this is the hand, the foot that broke off of an idol. Well, if it broke off of an idol, so according to you, Reish Lakish, that's bittul, right? So therefore it should be mutter. And the Mishnah says it's aser. It's a simple question with a simple answer. Well, first the Gemara articulates the question. Amai hashvarim ninu. So the Gemara says, atir gam ha-shmua ba'om dema b'sisan. The Gemara uses the answer that we saw in yesterday's daf. No, it's not just a hand and a foot. It's not just broken off of a larger idol. Meaning, there was a pedestal where the hand was placed on. There was a pedestal in which the foot was placed on. Meaning that what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah do is they worship a hand, they worship a foot, and you know that it was independently created simply because it was built with its own pedestal. The Gemara here quotes a Mishnah. We'll be seeing this Mishnah in a week and a half from now, where the Mishnah says that a guy can be mevato both his own Avodah Zarah and another guy's Avodah Zarah. V'yisol, and a mevato of eskochem shol v'kochavim. But you cannot have a Jew being mevato the Avodah Zarah of a guy. Now the Gemara says, let's think this through. In other words, you have now a Jew coming over to the house of a guy. There's his Avodah Zarah and he breaks it. Right? Avram Avinu. Okay? So in other words, so he goes over to somebody else's house and he breaks that. So in other words, it's true that the guy himself didn't break it. But this should be no different or no worse than Ishtabra Me'alaha. In other words, okay, so the idol now broke. Okay, the Jew broke it. Okay, fine. But it couldn't even save itself from being broken. This is no worse than Ishtabra Me'alaha. And the Gemara now articulates the question, so now, if the idol broke, I understand the Jew broke it. But it's no different than it breaking on its own. And according to you, Reish Lakish, It should be mevutal. So the Gemara is going to give two answers to this. Amar Abaye shepachsa. So the Gemara says, Abaye's answer is like this. You know, I know it says that the Jew broke it, but he didn't break it. You know what he did? He took a hammer to it and he dented it. So it's just a dent. It's a fender bender. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're also going to learn in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah that's upcoming, even denting it should be bittul. So the Gemara says, no. Hani mila de pascha v'kochavim. Ava pachsa yisrael lo batla. So the Gemara says, no. If you have the guy taking a hammer and denting it, so that's a clear demonstration of, I don't want it anymore. I don't like it anymore. I don't believe in it anymore. But if you have a Jew coming along and denting it, so think about it. In other words, it's like a dent in the car. I'll speak personally. So a dent in the car. Okay, it's a dent in the car. Right? People come over. Hey, can I fix that dent for you? I'm like, no, thanks. I like it. I'm happy with the dent. In other words, if I dent it, okay, clearly it shows I don't like it. But if somebody comes along and dents it, it's not enough for me to give up my belief in the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says that could be what the Mishnah is talking about. It, he didn't break it. He just dented it. Okay, that's one possibility. Rabbi Amar Lolam Kipachsa Yisrael Nami Badla. And Rabbi says, no. I don't believe in this difference between breaking versus denting. Meaning, if it's enough of a demonstration of bittul when the Ovid Avodah Zarah does it, so for sure it'll be enough of a bittul when a Jew does it as well. So, if it could work, that is. So now, again, let's go to the question on the table. Question on the table is, the Mishnah tells us that if a Jew either dents or breaks the Avodah Zarah of a non-Jew, the Mishnah says it's not mevutal. Our question, according to Reish Lakish, it should be mevutal. It should be no different than a Shabra Me'alam. Rava's answer, which we're going to hear time and again, so just get used to it, right? We will get comfortable with this answer by the end of this Amud, as the Gemara will keep repeating this answer again and again. Me'ikar Adin, should there be Bittul according to Reish Lakish? The answer is yes. However, Gzeira Dilma Magba Lava Hadam Evatala, the reason why bittul does not occur is gzeira derabbanan. Because consider, if the Jew were to take a hammer and break the avodah zarah, that's good. That creates bittul. However, what could happen is that before he takes the hammer and breaks it, the Jew will pick it up. Now, if the Jew picks it up, there would be a kinyan. Now, I understand that for a kinyan, you need two willing parties for a kinyan. Okay? I understand kinyan is not that simple as just simply picking it up. But for our purposes right now, let's just assume that there's a kinyan that occurs. So then he picks it up and now there's a kinyan. What's there a kinyan? So that makes a big difference. Because now that there's a kinyan, now a Jew owns it, so he can't be mevatalit. Because again, the starting point is that a avodah zarah owned by a Jew is not subject to bittul. So in other words, you're right, Abaye says. This is what Reish Lakish would answer. Not Abaye, Rava. So you're right. If he took a hammer to Avodah Zarah, that's owned by a guy, should there be bittul? Sure. Because it's no different than Ishtabra Me'alaha. However, by concern of the fact that he first may pick it up and assume ownership of it, and therefore it's no longer subject to bittul, so because we're concerned about that, so we're always going to prevent bittul from occurring, even when bittul really should occur. Gzeira derabbanan. And now, as I mentioned, you're going to hear this answer a lot. You're going to hear this answer four more times. Eisvei, the Gemara challenge is based on another Mishnah. Let's say you have the famed Markulis. Markulis is an Avodah Zarah, which we're going to see a couple times in this Masechta, more than a couple, where basically what you do is you create a simple pyramid of stones, two with one on top of it, and then what you do is you take other stones and you throw it at the pyramid. Okay, sounds like a game. Say it was a form of Avodah Zarah back then. It's not for you and I to understand the Avodah Zarah. In other words, it's, you know, these are kinds of worships that, you know, we never seen and it doesn't speak to us. But anyway, this was a form of Avodah Zarah. Okay, so anyway, and now the guy said, you know what? This is the stupidest thing in the world. Like, I'm worshiping this. And he takes the stones and he now uses it for construction material. He makes a road out of it. He makes a theater out of it. That's a good example, wonderful example of bittul avodah zarah. However, if the Jew takes a stone and he tries to make it into roads and theaters, it's not, the status of the avodah zarah does not go away, because again, the basic rule is that a Jew cannot be mevatel the avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. if the Jew is taking the markerless stones of the guy, so isn't it no different than Ishtaber Me'alaha? So the Gemara's answer is, you're right, but Hachanami Kid Rava. But again, Rava's answer will be that the Gzeira, the Chachamim, prevented Bittul for concern that before the Jew is actually Mevatel the Avodah Zarah, before he breaks it, he first picks it up and acquires it, and then he tries to be Mevatel, and that of course doesn't work. Okay, let's do this again. Eitzvei. Ove Kochavim Sheshipe Avodas Kochavim. So here you have an Asherah tree. The Asherah tree is an actual tree that was planted for Avodah Zarah, and now the tree is Avodah Zarah. And now you take shavings off of the tree. Shipa is shavings. So you take like little twigs, not twigs, but right. You take some shearings off of the tree. Litzarcho, I'm sorry. Shishipa avodas kochavim litzarcho. He v'shipuya mutarim. So basically, now if the guy does it, you're good. Meaning both the shavings and the tree now are mutar. In other words, you don't do this to a god, lowercase g. Where you're like, you know what? I need some firewood. So I need some kindling. So you sit there now, you take shavings off. So the shavings themselves for sure now are mevutal, but even the tree is mevutal. He is mevato the Asherah by taking shavings off the tree. Litzarcha, however, if he's doing it for the tree itself, meaning he's doing it to beautify the tree. So now, he asura v'shifuya mutara. The tree itself remains asur because he's doing it lanoi. He's doing it to beautify the tree. Interesting, the shearings are now mutter. Okay. The Yisrael Shashipa Avodas Kochavim, Ben Letzarcha, Ben Letzarcha, He Veshufuya Asurim. However, if the Jew attempts to do this to the Asherah tree, that's owned by a guy, so then it's going to be Asur. The shearing is going to be Asur, the tree is going to be Asur, nothing changes. Again, now, the Asherah tree can't even defend itself. From the onslaught of the Jew. The Jew is now shearing little pieces of the wood off of it. So again, according to you, Reish Lakish, shouldn't there be bittul? So the answer is the Gemara Nami Esra Hachanami Kidarava. Again, yeah, there should be bittul, but again, Exera Durabanan. Right. The means of kinyan over here is not going to be, it's an excellent point. In other words, it won't be like the Avodah Zarah where you could just pick it up. So over here, kinyan would have to be, it's a tree. So it would have to be a proprietary act or a shtar or kesef. Yes. It's a good point. Eitzvei, the Gemara now asks another question. Rabbi Yossi Amar, shochek v'zorah l'ruach o matal yam. So Rabbi Yossi says, what do you do in Avodah Zarah if you have an Avodah Zarah? So you have to destroy it. So basically, you are, now Rashi points out over here, we're talking about an Avodah Zarah that's made up of metal. So what you do is you grind it up and you throw it into the wind or you throw it into the ocean. Now Amru Lo say to Rav Yossi, unacceptable. Avu Nasa Zevel. What do you mean? So that creates wonderful mineral, and now you take the powdered Avodah Zarah, you put it onto the field, and it provides wonderful mineral content for the field. And uksivlo yidvak biyachem u'man menachem, you're not allowed to get benefit from the Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, "Amayti avetei kavodas kochavim shenishabra me'alaha." So the Gemara says, "Well, look, assuming that this metal Avodah Zarah was owned by a guy, and assuming that the Jew now pulverized it and reduced it into a fine powder, so isn't this no different than the shabra me'alaha?" And again, the question is against Reish Lakish. You Reish Lakish, you say that once it's reduced to powder. Once it's broken on its own, it should be subject to bittul. And why is there no bittul over here? And again now, for the third time, Hachanami Kidurava. The Gemara says again, the Rava will tell you that the Chachamim blocks bittul for fear that first there'll be a kinyan and then it'll try to be mevatalit. Eitzvei, the Gemara challenges now another time, Rabbi Yosef ben Yis'an Omer Matzatsuras Darkon, Verosho Chatuch. I find a darkon, like the English word dragon. Right. In other words, it was an image in the shape of a dragon, and the head is cut off. Safik ove kochav mechatchu. Safik yisrael chatchu. Mutter. I don't know who's the one who cut off the dragon. Who cut off the head of the dragon? Maybe it was a guy who did it. Maybe it was a Jew who did it. So it would be mutter. Now mutter over here. Why? Because really, what do I have over here? I have a sfeik sfeika. I don't even know if the dragon was worshipped. Okay. So was it a Avodah Zarah to begin with? Maybe. And maybe, even if it was a Avodah Zarah, maybe the guy cut off the head. Can a guy be mevatel avodah zara? Absolutely. Now, if the Jew cut off the head, then we have a problem. But here we have now a suffix compounded on top of another suffix. Again, what's classically referred to as a sfeik sfeika. So, vade yisor chatcho, aser. So the Gemara says, but if I know for sure that the Jew cut off the head of the dragon, so now it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, amai ke'avodas kochavim, shenishtaber me'alah. So the Gemara says, well, if the Jew cut off the head of the dragon, and the dragon was owned by a non-Jew, so the Gemara says, so even if it was an avodah zarah, but isn't this neshaber me'alah, and according to you, Reish Lakish, isn't it kri bittul? And so now for a fourth time, ha'chanami k'deravah. So the Gemara says, okay, but we'll give Rava's terrors where the chachamim block bittul. Eitzvei, Rabbi Yossi Almer. By the way, you'd figure at this point in time, you know what the answer is going to be, meaning once you have Rava's answer readily available, so we know it every single time. Okay, Tosfos is bothered by that. Tosfos says, you know, sometimes it happens. I mean, Tosfos over here really just asked a question. Right? Tosfos divra maskel hacha, tzarech iyun. Bechol ani dekari le maka arila. What was the question to begin with? Pshita delashana bilhu kederava. It's obvious the Gemara was going to give Rava's answer. Okay. Eitzve, we are now on the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Yossi, Amar af lo yirakos. Bimos hagshamim mibnei. Over here we're having the following discussion. There is an Asherah tree. And what you want to do now is you want to plant under the Asherah tree. Can you do that? In the summertime, the answer is absolutely no. Because what the Asherah tree is going to be providing for you is wonderful shade in the summer, and that would be good for you and good for your plants, and that's called hana. And no way. No way can you do it in the summertime. What about the winter? In the wintertime, I don't need the shade. So in the wintertime, can I plant under? So there's an opinion out that that's a sure, meaning you're not getting ana. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you cannot. Why? Because what's going to happen in the wintertime is that the foliage is going to fall off the tree. The leaves are going to come down on the ground. The leaves are going to produce wonderful nutrition for the ground. And so you are getting ana from the tree. And so the Gemara is, and this is the argument of Rabbi Yossi. Af lo yirakos b'yamos ha'gshamim neisha neviyah no sheres aleihem. The neviyah, Rashi explains, those are the leaves that fall down. The leaves are falling on top of it. Amai tahavi kavaros kocham sheneshabra me'alaha. And so the Gemara says, and I don't understand. Isn't this an example of the avodas are breaking? Shani asam de'ikar avodas kochavim kayemes. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's not exactly the same because the avodas are didn't break. This is just simply nature. Okay, nature. In other words, what is happening over here is that the leaves are falling. That's natural. So the Gemara says, what about a number of cases ago in the Gemara where we had the Asherah tree and you're shaving the Asherah tree? But the tree's still there. So the Gemara says, don't you see the difference? Ravuna Bredra of Yeshua Amar Lefishe and Avodas Kochavim Betela. Derech Yedei Lasa. So the Gemara says, when you're talking about a tree shedding its leaves, that is a natural phenomenon. As a natural phenomenon, of course the tree does not become batal. In other words, that is what is expected to happen. But if you're sitting there with the Asherah tree, with a tool in your hand, and you're shaving down the Asherah tree, that's clear. That's clear bittul. So Gemara says that's the obvious difference. Eitzrei Rav Shimon Melakish L'Rav Yochanan. And now, finally, Reish Lakish gets a jab. Because, quite frankly, he has gotten so far in the course of today's daf, he's gotten a good beating. Although, truth of the matter is, he's defended himself, or the Gemara has defended himself time and again. But again, on the topic of an avodah zarah shenishtaber me'ala, where it breaks on its own, so where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So Reish Lakish says, it has become batal. There are numerous cases that we have now seen through the Mishnayos, where bittul does not occur. And the Gemara says either the Gemara defense, but the most popular defense so far of Reish Lakish has been it's Gzeira Derabbanan, meaning Me'ikar Adin there should be Bittul, but there's Gzeira Derabbanan. And again, just to reiterate, the Gzeira Derabbanan is we're concerned that before the Jew breaks the Avodah Zarah, he may take possession of it, and therefore once he takes possession of it, he can't be mevatel it. And so for fear of that, so therefore the Chachamim block Bittul under all circumstances.
The fact that a Avodah Zarah, despite being bittul, why can we still benefit from it?
Bittul takes away the status.
The history of
I understand that, but a guy can remove the status of a Avodah Zarah. That is within his, it's within his power to do that. We can't remove the Avodah Zarah status, but he can. Why should that be? It's just one of the givens.
Well, the idea from Rosa only happens to the Hefker thing, not the belongs to somebody.
Right.
The Juba picks up.
Well, that's why, I didn't make this point very clear, by the way. That's why in the foliage that came down, the Gemara didn't give Rava's answer.
Right, because
So, I'm sorry. Back to the Gemara. So, Can Shabarosha Elon. If I have a nest on the top of a tree, so we're going to talk about two trees over here, a Hektesh tree and a Sheira tree. So, Shel Hektesh Lonen and Vlamalin. So, the nest on top of the Hektesh tree. So, there is no Isra Me'ilon. Now, Lichat Chila, you shouldn't get benefit from it, for reasons which we're going to explain. But there is no Isra of Me'ilon. Now, Barosho Shel Asherah. Now, if the nest is on top of the Asherah tree, Yat is Bekana. So, don't climb up the tree. It's an Asherah tree. So, don't climb up the tree. But what you could do is you could take a long stick, and you can knock the nest off, and you can get benefit from. Now, benefit from what? Right now, let's assume we're talking about the actual nest itself. Meaning, obviously, the nest has eggs in it, and maybe some chicks in it as well. But right now, for our purposes, let's assume that we're talking about the nest. Now, if we're talking about the nest, that means we're talking about the twigs. Where do the twigs come from? Let's make another assumption. Let's assume that the twigs came from the tree itself. So, in other words, now we're talking about a nest made up of twigs. Twigs made from the tree. And so, either now it's the twigs of an Asherah or twigs of a Hektesh. Kasa kadacha, the Gemara telegraphs the punch. Kasa kadacha kagon sheshabra mimenu etzim v'kinta bahen. So we're talking about the twigs that are coming from the tree. V'ksani yatiz bekana. And meanwhile, what is allowed to be done is that the nest is allowed to be used in of itself. Meaning the twigs. Now Reish Lakish says, this is good for me. In other words, it's an Asherah tree. Can I get benefit from the Asherah tree? No. Yeah, but these are twigs that broke off the Asherah tree. Now, granted, the guy didn't do it himself. It happened on its own. But that's good for me. Meaning, I'm of the opinion that Nishtabru Me'ala, that if it breaks on its own, it would be mutter. In other words, we'll assume that there was going to be default bittul. So, Reish Lakish says, this brisa works out very well for me. So, the Gemara's answer, Ha'cha b'maiskin, can go into Icy Eitzim Ma'ama, V'kinta Mehen. So, the Gemara says, well, we're going to just change our assumption. We assume that the twigs come from the tree itself. The Gemara says, nope, we're going to change that assumption. Actually, the twigs come from another tree. And Dekanami Dekani, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what. I'm much more comfortable saying that. Why? Gabe Hektesh, lo nen and v'lo ma'alin. Because look at what we said regarding the tree of Hektesh. Can I benefit from that, from the nest? So, mina Torah, the answer is yes. Look, the nest on the Hektesh tree. If the twigs come from another tree, I understand why there's no Isra Me'ila in the Torah. But what a wonderful question. If the twigs are coming from this tree itself and it's a Hektesh tree, if the tree is Hektesh, you know what the nest is? The nest is also Hektesh. And so therefore should be an Isser of Me'ila on the nest itself. So the Gemara says, Midi'ir Yahacha Begidulin Habayin Lacha Mikanaskinan. V'kasavra Ein Me'ila Begidulin. So the Gemara says, well, if that's your argument, I can counter the argument. Look, maybe the twigs come from the tree itself, and maybe the tree was Hektesh. And I'll tell you that the twigs are coming from post-Hektesh growth. Meaning that what happened is that after you were Maktish the tree, future twigs now grew, and although this is subject to a debate, we could take the position that future growth after Hektesh does not have Hektesh status. Hektesh status is only for the original tree and not for future growth. Now that is subject to a Machlokas, but we could take that position. Okay, so we could still argue, therefore, that the twigs are coming from the tree itself. Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, my yatis be'afrochin. Or the Gemara says, well, what we could also do is we could change another assumption. We talked about knocking down the nest in order to get benefit from. So we assumed the whole time that we're getting benefit from the nest. The Gemara says, no. Maybe what we're talking about is getting benefit from the efrochin, the chicks that are in the nest. And therefore, if that's true, so then we no longer have a question to begin with. Amalei Rav Yaakov, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Techlifa, Asbara Chla, Be'efrochim, Kan V'Kan Mutarim. So the Gemara says, look, I could work with this following svara. If we're talking about chicks, so both the chick of an Asherah tree and that of a Hektish tree, that would be mutter. In other words, because the chicks are totally independent of the nest. V'beitin Kan V'Kan Asur. And if we're talking about eggs, so I can tell you that they're Asur. Why? Because the eggs, obviously, they're in desperate need of the nest. Meaning without the nest, the eggs would just simply fall and break. And Rav Ashi says, now what about chicks that are so young and so underdeveloped that basically they are in need of the nest, they can't move without the nest, so therefore, halachically, in this regard, we're going to treat them like eggs, and just like you're not allowed to get benefit from the eggs, you're not also not allowed to get benefit from these very underdeveloped chicks. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. Again, big topic for today was Avodah Zarah Shnishabra Me'aleha. It breaks on its own. The Avodah Zarah didn't break his own. Avodah Zarah breaks on its own. Machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, whether or not we can presume Bittul. Rav Yochanan says we cannot presume Bittul. Reish Lakish says we can presume Bittul. And really, the course of today's daf, a back and forth in terms of which Mishnahs and which prices seems to support Rav Yochanan, which seems to support Reish Lakish. Halacha falls like Rav Yochanan.